never let it be said that political conventions aren't interesting anymore. After an unpredictable and somewhat raucous week at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, the Democratic edition in Philadelphia is shaping up much the same way. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. He's covering both conventions. Mandy joins us from Philadelphia. And David, the headlines here are, so far, pretty much dominated by the revelations out of the DNC's leaked emails via WikiLeaks and the subsequent resignation of the DNC chairwoman. To what extent has that consumed all of the energy in Philadelphia in at least the first early hours of this convention?
Well, I'd say to an almost complete degree. On the first day of the convention has been dominated by this. It has emboldened the Bernie Sanders diehard supporters to be even more vocal and passionate, I think, than they were prepared to be when they arrived in Philadelphia. Bernie Sanders himself was almost booed out of his own rally earlier in the day when he declared that it was time to, you know, unite around Hillary Clinton and Tom Kaine. The boos definitely outweighed the cheers. There's been a lot of incredibly enthusiastic cheering for anything that is remotely seen as supportive of the Bernie Sanders point of view during the early sort of opening hour or two of the convention tonight. They adopted the platform, and there were dozens of people standing up, shaking signs against the trade liberalization agreement known as TPP, which, although Mrs. Clinton has come out against it, they feel like this is a rallying cry for the Bernie side. I would say it's emboldened them. I would say it has created one of the oldest storylines in modern American politics, which is Democrats in disarray. I mean, usually the cliche is the Republicans fall in line and the Democrats are in disarray. This year, the second week of the convention is certainly at least as exciting as the first, but the Republican convention was plenty filled with drama and surprise too.
Yes, they seem to be competing with each other for disarray points. On your earlier observations about the discord, especially represented by Bernie Sanders supporters, is most of that happening at events on sort of the periphery of the convention floor or on the floor of the convention as well?
Oh, both places. There were delegation breakfasts. There was the Florida delegation breakfast this morning was pandemonium. Debbie Wasserman Schultz herself, the chairwoman of the DNC for the next, for the next 4 days now that she's resigned, she was shouted down at her own home state breakfast. There were other state caucuses that were equally sort of rebellious. And then there were protests in the streets of downtown Philadelphia. Much of the convention activity, the periphery, is in downtown Philadelphia. We are, the actual convention hall is several miles away at a sporting arena, the so-called Wells Fargo Center, where basketball and hockey get played. There's plenty of agitation and anger and passion on the floor as well. As you and I are talking here, the convention is only a few hours old.
And is there any indication, or do people seem to believe or hold out hope that as sort of the main events of the convention, the speeches by the vice presidential nominee and the presidential nominee come around, that there's going to be more of a feeling of unity on the floor as, again, the main events take shape?
Well, that is certainly what the Hillary Clinton campaign is hoping for, and the DNC staff that got caught up in this email shenanigans. A lot of people are already talking sort of ironically about the featured speaker on Tuesday night. The featured speaker on Tuesday night is former President Bill Clinton. He is being brought in. Obviously, as what's become sort of traditional at these conventions is that the spouse of the candidate gets a primetime speaking slot so that spouse can be sort of character witness number one for their candidate spouse. Obviously, Bill Clinton is way more than a candidate's spouse. He is one of the great unifiers of the Democratic Party in modern times. And so there are a lot of Democratic operatives and office holders who are holding out hope that Bill Clinton can pull his rhetorical magic out of the hat one more time and and calm the convention hall down and get it unified.
And we should talk about the vice presidential nominee, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, who will be familiar to many of our listeners. I've only covered him briefly in his capacity as a member of the Armed Services Committee, but he's always struck me as somebody who is into the details and cares a lot about the nuances of what government does and federal policy. Do we have any indication of what his role in an administration would be, whether he would have any kind of particular portfolio and why the Clinton campaign chose him other than they want to win Virginia?
Well, they want to win Virginia. They wanted to make sort of a first do no harm strategy of picking somebody who was well vetted, well understood, a serious player with tons of experience who complements the top of the ticket. I don't think that there's been any discussion yet about what, if any, formalized role he'd have in a Clinton White House, other than with each passing administration, vice presidents seem to lock down a new sort of post-World War II role for themselves. I mean, or at least the post-last 40 years, Walter Mondale in 1976 really transformed the role of the vice president. They have been sort of working, if not partners, because nobody can be a partner with the president, but certainly in on every meeting, in on every decision, assistance to the president ever since the 70s. My guess is that that's what the expectation would be with Kaine as well. They have a good friendship. They've known Kaine and the Clintons have known each other for a long time. This is not a shotgun wedding here at the last minute as the convention opens. They've known each other for a long time. I think Tim Kaine, you're right, has got a reputation as a detail guy. He will be somebody who, is well versed in all of the issues that many of your listeners think about in terms of federal workforce and what, federal procurement. I mean, obviously, defense industry. I mean, he is plugged into the industries that make the Washington region work, and as such, I think can be counted on to have opinions about that, about those issues in the next 4 years if he gets to be vice president.
All right, David, as you alluded to, we're just early days of the convention here so far. Give us a little preview of what's still ahead during the rest of the week and the things that you're going to be watching for as you're in Philadelphia covering the convention.
Well, obviously, I'm going to be watching to see if Bill Clinton can pull off this chemistry, can pull off this magic trick that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think how Kaine introduces himself to the country. I mean, Kaine, while known to many people in the D.C. area as a former governor and a senator and a former mayor of Richmond, the country does not know who he is. So this is a chance for him to genuinely introduce himself to the country. And of course, crazy as it may sound to people who pay attention to politics, and to people who Hillary Clinton gets yet another chance to reintroduce herself to the country. I mean, there are a lot of people who have tuned out this election. Even in this sort of crazy, topsy-turvy year, there are still millions of Americans who are just now sort of tuning in. And for them, they want to see who is Hillary Clinton now? What is Hillary Clinton version 6.0? And we're all waiting to see that too. We're waiting to see what policy she unveils. Already in the early days of the convention, this is a more policy-focused convention than Cleveland was last week, which is sort of all about the personality of Donald Trump. Already here in Philadelphia, we're seeing a lot more discussion of actual issues, minimum wage, trade, civil rights, human rights. What kind of agenda she lays out, we're all going to be fascinated to watch.
All right. David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks as always, and enjoy yourself in Philadelphia.
Thanks, Jared.
And you can share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive. Just click share with friends.